This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome in to the first in-season football-only edition of the Inside Slant podcast of the 2021 campaign. Folks, football season is finally here. Kansas football season is finally here. We are in game week. We are gearing up for the start of the Lance Leipold era in Lawrence. I'm going to be joined by Jayhawk Slant publisher and the best man on the Kansas football beat, Mr. John Kirby. We're going to get into the first depth chart. We're going to talk about the matchup with South Dakota, give our predictions, and then we'll be joined by sideline reporter Brandon McAnderson. Let's kick it off by welcoming the man, the myth, the legend, my Jayhawk Slant partner and publisher, Mr. John Kirby. JK, how are you doing this evening?
Man, Randy, how could you not be doing good knowing that we are 2 days away from football? Actually, there's a game on tonight. I think it's Jacksonville State, maybe UAB, but the game that we're all going to talk about is 2 days away. And Randy, I'll tell you, the longer I do this, the more there's a fall camp wall that you hit, okay? Mm-hmm. And after so many times of watching practice kind of drills and going through and just regurgitating, you know, the same thing. And we have so many great fans on our site. You know, we've got 2,000 yes, we do. Subscribers, and they are great fans of KU. But after a while, you kind of just go, and I know you get the phone calls from friends of yours, and I get them from people I've known for a long time. And after a while, you just go, okay, what more can you talk about? It's just time to play some football and get this show on the road.
Yes, sir. It is. We need game day. I said it several weeks ago on the board. It is finally here. We are literally just hours away. That's the beauty of this. I cannot wait. I'm all fired up. I mean, obviously, we got a chance to start high school football here in Kansas City last week as things kicked off on the Missouri side. Then obviously everything in the state of Kansas starts kicking off really tomorrow night with the first round of Thursday night games. I mean, it's here, and gosh, it couldn't have gotten here at a better time. I'm just like you. I live and die with Kansas football. I'm so excited to have this renewed sense of optimism and a belief in the direction the program is going in, which I know we've talked about the new staff. We've talked about, you know, Lance Leipold and his history and being regarded as one of the top coaches in all of college football. We finally get to talk about a game, and I can't wait to get started. And we're just going to get right into what we expect from this team in 2021. But before we get into that, we're actually going to kick it off with our first regular season guest of the year as KU football sideline reporter Brandon McAnderson joins us on the studio line right now with Kirby. John, let's hear from BMAC.
Our guest on the Inside Slant podcast is Brandon McAnderson, a sideline reporter for the Jayhawks, better known as BMAC, former captain of the Orange Bowl team. Brandon, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. How are you, John?
Well, you know, we're there. We got time for football, and the talking time is over. I know we go through fall camp, and everything kind of draws out, but, you know, we finally have some football coming up, and, you know, I know you've been around the program. I'm just curious of what your thoughts. What have you seen?
Well, I've seen a team that's committed, and I know that's a small thing, and I know it's an intangible thing, and it's hard to put into words what I've seen, but what I have seen is buy-in, and I think that's what you want to see, especially if you're, you know, if you're Coach Leipold and staff. You want to see people committed to the vision for the program, because that is the true beginning, is people coming in and saying, I like it here. We can win here. I want to be a part of this. So I think I've seen people's commitment to their bodies. I've seen people's commitment to showing up, doing things the right way. You see a lot of that amongst the program, and that's something that's been absent over the last few regimes.
You know, Brent, I know we've talked about this in the past, but, I mean, you were part of a program where they had to change the culture under Mangino. Just talk about that process and what is it like going through?
Well, see, I had the pleasure of being the first full recruiting class under Coach Mangino. There was a half recruiting class a year before me. So we were really the first, and there was not a lot of high school seniors on it. I think there's only maybe five or six. It was mostly a junior college class. But what was fairly apparent is that there was only one way to do it. So for us, you know, not being there before, not really understanding what we were about to go through, it isn't like we had a whole bunch of options. You know, it's either stay here and compete or move on. And he made that very, very clear. So I kind of had the luxury of just being, you know, in a program that, I mean, I hate to use the word cutthroat, but I mean, it reminds me always of that quote by Nick Saban, where he said, you don't really have a lot of choices. And that was the Mangino philosophy, is you don't have a lot of choices. You can say you do, but if you want to be great and you want to be good, there ain't a whole bunch of different ways to do it. You got to commit to your body. You got to commit to your workouts. You got to go out and compete.
You know, I've told people, you know, this is going to take time to turn a program around. And, you know, this coaching staff didn't get started until late. What do you want to see from these guys the first few games?
I just want to see that competitive edge. And I think that when I think back to how we started, I think our rebuild was in two parts. I think the first part was just having Bill Whittemore. And I know he wasn't a one-man team, but he just amplified everybody around him. And I think he just allowed us to skip a step and kind of gave us a taste of what it would be like to be in a bowl game, kind of gave us that first appetizer for what the program could be. But I think the actual build to what we became at the Orange Bowl started the next year in 2004, where we went from a defense that was bottom three or five in the country to top three or five in the country. And it was mostly just by being as physical as all get out. We couldn't throw the ball really well. We were calling a lot of ISOs, you know, banging it in there and trying to win games. And we had a chance to win some. We won four. We lost some ones that we should have won. But that was a clear. This was no longer a time to disrespect Kansas football. It was no longer a time where you could game plan for us and just simply ignore us and start working on your next opponent during the week. It was a game that you had to prepare for, and you better have access to an ice bath after you play it. So I want to see a team that's physical and competitive. And for the most part, I've seen that amongst the position groups, and that's what makes me really excited about this group.
Brandon, I remember that 2004 team. I mean, how many games were you guys in that thing or have a chance to win in the fourth quarter? And I think that's one of those times I always tell people, that's when you knew Kansas football was coming, because in the fourth quarter, you guys were in almost every game.
Absolutely. We were just competitive. And, you know, that's something that I've noticed, especially, I mean, how it translates to this year. Watching practice, let me tell you something about the defensive backs on this team. This fan base is going to love them. Deuce Mayberry last year was playing big boy football. He's probably 160 pounds. And he was so competitive playing in the slot. He wasn't a guy that busted assignments. And now he put on 15, 20 pounds. He looks great. Jacoby Bryant, Romello Dotson. These guys are really young. I mean, you know, seeing Romello Dotson as a true freshman, he was someone that I was like, yeah, he looks like he might be something someday. Well, like someday is like right now for Romello Dotson. He is so competitive. Jacoby Bryant, Deuce Mabier. I think this is the kind of group, these are the kind of people that create turnarounds, people that are committed early to competition and making sure that they can't control everything, but they can control how they compete on every play. And I think that's what's starting to peak for some of these young fellows through the Jayhawks.
All right, man, I want to go over to the offensive side. You know, what are the keys for them to be successful?
You know, I think that offensive line finding some cohesion early in the season. I am not, I've been really happy. I don't want to say happy, but I've not been as down on the offensive line as everyone else, just because a lot of the film last year where they really, really struggled. If you watch them, the bigger issue was not their competition level and not their their overall want to. It was that they sometimes just did not look like they knew what they were supposed to be doing. If you watch their head and their posture and their aiming points, I'm not certain that they knew what they were supposed to do. Now, there's plenty of blame to go around, but I don't think it's a talentless group. You know, Malik Clark the year before was a very, very competitive guard. Earl Bostic is a otherworldly athlete. Mike Nowitzki is a, you know, a top five player at his position. Colin Grenard's a grinder that made his way through Notre Dame. You got Adam Zreeb. You got Adagio Lopetegui, who's played every position imaginable. You know, Chris Hughes, the governor. I mean, you have a little bit of everything in through seven guys. I just named seven guys. I could go to eight that I'm really, really excited about, including Bryce Cabledew. I think that is the group that's going to be the most important, because having that run game makes it easier to play quarterback, makes it easier to play defense, makes it easier to play wide receiver. So it's a matter of those guys getting some continuity, continuing that competitive level, and opening up some creases for a very talented backfield.
All right, I want to move over to the defensive side. I know you just covered some corners that you like, but talk about the D-line, linebackers, and just what do you think of the defense?
D-line, I like it. I like Kyron Johnson. I feel like around the OU game last year, got really settled into being an outside linebacker, defensive end player again, being a primary edge player. And you start to see it. You start to see it in his play. You know, he made a couple plays against Oklahoma. One was a forced fumble. And then throughout the season, he was just rock solid. So you got to love him. Sam Burt is a guy that I think was a little undersized to play nose. And that's weird to say for a guy at 6'4", 290. But I just think he was a little bit overmatched at that spot. They're going to slide into that shade. It's going to make a difference. And the reason is because a nose is a space eater. He's trying to eat up as many blocks as he can. And I think Burt is just a better athlete than that. And I think playing in the shade will give him a better opportunity to do that. Caleb Sampson, I'd say the same thing about him. You got a guy that was good enough and athletic enough to play defensive end that now gets to slide inside, where his athleticism is going to be an advantage for him in the pass rush game, and his quickness, you know, can be disruptive in the run game. And Malcolm Lee's good. That linebacking core is the one I have the most questions about. I'm very eager to see what type of improvements that group has made, because that's a big, big spot on a defense, especially if you want to play base defense. Your linebackers have got to be versatile. They've got to be able to cover. And that's why it's nice to see guys like Nate Betts slide in, you know, Potter returning, Barry Hill returning. Well, I'm ready to see that group perform well, because this defense is going to need it.
Well, Brandon, man, I always appreciate your time coming on the Inside Slant podcast. You are always a fan favorite, and we look forward to having you throughout the season. And we'll see you Friday night.
Yes, sir. We'll see you.
JK, I know you're a big BMAC fan, as we all love Brandon McAnderson, and he is a guy that always delivers. Let's get in depth and talk about this depth chart. I love you were posting about it as you were heading down the highway on your way to the press conference in Lawrence. When you got your first look at that, what were your takeaways?
Yeah, Randy, there weren't a lot of surprises, and I'm one of these guys. I've seen enough depth charts over the years. I don't know if they really excite me, you know, because there's just so many changes, and sometimes you put a depth chart and you're just trying to fill out too deep, and you sit here and say, maybe a coach deep down says, you know, I'm never going to get to my too deep. I'm only going to play eight linemen, or, you know, I've got this kid listed here, but I know that I'll really shuffle this guy and put him over here. Trevor Cardell, he's one that I will say surprised me a little bit, although that I had heard he was having a good camp. Had a chance to talk to him a little bit. You know, Randy, listen, this guy, 6'5", 230 pounds, he was a catcher. He was one of the top-rated catchers in the Midwest. Okay, I've seen him play baseball. He's athletic. So, you know, Trevor Cardell has impressed this staff. So, you know, that it wasn't a huge surprise. But coming out of last year, you had Fairchild, you had Huggins. Those guys got snaps during the games last year. So you kind of just had it in your mind. Those would probably be your two leading guys of that cast. But, you know, Cardell had a great camp, and I've asked Leipold and Kotelnicki about him, and they've ranted and raved about him. So, you know, he's a guy to watch that maybe was a little bit of a surprise. And when I talk about, like, the offensive line, you know, they put a depth chart out, okay? And you've got Colin Grenhard. And then behind him, I want to say it was Gilbertson and maybe Armaj, okay?
So, that's exactly who it was.
Okay, so... And hey, you know, I've been regurgitating so many numbers and names. I mean, I have trouble remembering every depth chart and every PFF stat that I went over with South Dakota today. And so, let's say Grunhard goes down. Okay. And hey, let's knock on wood. I'm just using that as an example. Okay. Is Gilbertson really going to be the backup right guard, or are they going to take Lapetti and put him there? Are they going to take Chris Hughes and put him there? You see what I'm saying? So there's some spots you wonder if Earl Bostic wasn't playing left tackle. Do you move Cabledew or Ford there, or do you really go with DeKedrick Stern? So, you know, the depth chart to me is just an early indicator. There's going to be shuffling. Everybody's going to be auditioning on Friday night. So that depth chart is going to change. You know, I would say the one that surprised me the most, Randy, is cornerback at Romello Dotson. Although I talked to Romello, I've talked to people. He had a really good camp. He had a great summer. Gildersleeve. Dotson told me under Gildersleeve, he improved his vertical like 5 inches since Gildersleeve got there. So, I mean, you know, the kid's explosive. He's a competitor. I've talked to people about him. So, you know, the depth chart is what it is. It's week one, and I don't read a whole lot into it, but it's always fun to go over it.
Absolutely. And it's like you say, it's just kind of for a lot of coaches, it's an exercise. They have to have it too deep. They've got to put out a depth chart. So they just put out something to fulfill the requirement. We really won't know. And especially with a staff that we've never seen with this group of players in this place before, we're going to be learning almost as they're learning about this program and about the players they have on their roster. I'm curious, you know, when you look at this team, and specifically when you look at this season, year one for Lance Leipold era and Lawrence, how will you determine success and what is a good year versus a bad year? What are some of the things that you're going to be looking for this fall?
Yeah, Randy, you know, I think in year one of a situation where Leipold's coming in, he's taken over a 0-8, 0-9 team. You know, a team that gave up, what, 47 or more points in 5 conference games last year. I mean, they came in, they got the guys late. They didn't even get a chance to really start coaching them until fall camp. So, you know, I don't know if I'm one of these people that sit here and say, boy, I think Kansas is going to win 3 or 4 games. I don't know if I put a win value on what I'm looking for. I go back to those. I remember being in the stadiums for Mason's years. I remember covering Mangino's teams. So, you know, there's a lot of KU fans that, hey, they've never seen successful football. I mean, if you're a KU fan, a football fan, and you just jumped on the bandwagon 10 years ago, started following it, maybe you're, you know, somebody in your 30s and you started following when you were in school, you haven't seen good Kansas football. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you really think
I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're exactly right.
Yeah. So, you know, I tell people this all the time. I don't know that it's wins that I'm looking for as much as I want to see detail, organization, a steady improvement through the year, players getting better, kids playing hard, kids being in the right spots. Listen, last year was bad. That was a long year last year watching that. I'm looking for the little things. I'm looking for, you know, organization on the sideline. You know, hey, I've got binoculars, all right, for the press box. I mean, I'm one of those geeks where I'm watching certain things on the sideline. So those are the things to me that I want to see. And I really do believe Leipold and his staff and the organization that he'll have and that he'll bring in, I think to me and the people who look for the little things that end up being a little bit bigger things that ended up being big things down the road, I think you'll see those if you look for those things this year.
Kerb, you're around this program all the time, and you talk to people, and you really have your finger on the pulse of exactly where things are at this point with Kansas football. Give us the big picture of what you've learned about Lance Leipold and his staff and his philosophy since they arrived here from Buffalo in May, you know, just 3.5 months ago. You know, what have you learned about them, the direction they plan to take this, and where can it go from here?
Yeah, you know, Randy, I wrote a column last week, okay, and I didn't write this just for my health, but I said he's the right guy for the job, okay? And I've seen the right guy for the job. I've seen the guys that aren't right for the job. I've seen guys that I thought had a chance to possibly be right for the job, and then you realize they weren't. I really think with his history, he is mature enough in his seasoning as a coach. He's turned programs around. His demeanor. I love watching him at a press conference when somebody's asking him that question that's either already been asked or you just know that you're not going to get the answer to that. It's just his body language. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit of Mason and Mangino. Kind of that, are you really asking me this question right now? Like, or are you really coming back and asking the question that I didn't answer 2 minutes ago?
So, are we really going to do this again?
Yeah, but you know, but Leipold has kind of that a little bit calm demeanor about him, but you can see it. You can see it in his body language. So, you know, I wrote that column and I said, he's the right guy for the job, or I, you know, what I also meant was someone like him, okay? But it's him. He has all of the traits that I believe they need, and I'm excited to really watch what he can do with this program. I like everything I've seen about what they're doing. He's got a great staff. He's got a great off-the-field staff. I think these guys know what they're doing, and I think they have a plan. Now, there's going to be a time here, Randy, and I think most any KU fan that follows the program knows it's coming. They're going to hit some patches here. They're going to run up against some good teams. They're just outmanned. And there's not going to be some things they can do about some of these teams. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they recover and rebound from some of those games that they'll play. Because we all know, listen, Vegas has KU at 1.5 win total, something like that, in that area. Mm-hmm. So yes. It tells you right there what they think, you know, of the prospects of the season. But I look beyond that, and I really think that Leipold will build this thing right. I think he is a good fit at Kansas. He knows this region, and I'm excited. I think the right guy is there, but it's going to take time.
You met with the offensive, defensive, and special teams coordinators today in Lawrence. Was there anything that really stood out to you in talking with them?
Yeah, you know, I asked Borland, I thought this was interesting, about, you know, Randy, in my time covering football, getting to know defensive coordinators or talk to them over the summer, they all have the same theme. They're always worried about week one, and here's why. Offensive coordinators have all offseason and all summer and all fall camp to throw wrinkles in there that you didn't see on film from last year, okay? Mm-hmm. So Borland has gone back, and I'm sure he has broken down. Well, South Dakota only played, I think, 4 games in the spring, which was their regular season. But he's gone back and watched tendencies and, you know, watch what they've done. So you know South Dakota is going to come out and do something that they didn't show. They're going to come out in some unbalanced line. They're going to come out with, you know, some personnel group that they didn't show. They're going to come out and run misdirection to sides that they didn't do. You know, and Borland, God, he's a pro. You know, he talked about, hey, we know they're going to do that. But we have to adjust. We have to come to the sideline. We've got to figure it out, and we've got to get back out there and stop it. You know, I liked his demeanor and how he was about it, that just such a matter of fact that he knows they're going to do things that they haven't seen. They just have to adjust and go back out and stop it. You know, on the offensive side, Kotelnicki keeps beating this drum, and I know what he's saying. He's saying play solid football. He made a comment at one of his press conferences. Anytime that they are at the line snapping the ball, it's a good thing because that means Kansas has the ball. The clock is probably ticking. The defense is off on the side of the field. They're resting, okay? How many times have we watched Kansas in the past? They're down 28-0. What are they doing? They are in hurry-up mode, snapping the ball. And next thing you know, they go 3-and-out. Only 45 seconds has gone off the clock, and the other team's getting the ball back. So I think this is going to be...
That sounds way too familiar.
Yes, yes. And I think this is going to be a ball control. I think they're going to do, you know, he talked about motion, and I've talked to some of the tight ends about a lot of the different things they do. You know, I think there's going to be some window dressing in this offense, but I think this is going to be, somebody told me one time, Randy, that Bill Snyder focused on running like six or seven plays, okay? And all they did was run those six or seven plays to perfection at all the time. And then what he did is he would line up differently, and he would put guys in motion, or he'd move guys here, but it was the same play that they always knew how to run. They just gave it a little bit different look. And I really think we're going to see some of that at Kansas this year. I think they are going to get what they want to do down. They're going to learn it. And I think we're going to see guys in motion. I think we're going to see, you know, I just called it some window dressing, which is exactly what it is. But I'm looking forward to watching that. But I think Kotelnicki is going to be huge on no turnovers. If it's, you know, second and seven, okay, don't make the risky throw. Throw it away, eat the ball, whatever. Come back and live for third down, okay? On third down, if it's third and 10, okay, don't give it away. You know, snap it, punt it, kick the ball away. Play high percentage football, and I think that's what they're going to do. And those are some of the things I've learned from listening to the coordinators.
Everything is a mystery right now. Like you said, I mean, there are going to be wrinkles that they weren't expecting. But, you know, really, even from this staff, from what, you know, we really don't know a lot of what to expect from the Jayhawks themselves. Everything's a mystery in the scheme outside of running a 4-3 base defense. When it comes to the season opener, what are some things that you're looking for against South Dakota on that side of the ball?
Well, I'm probably being the master of the obvious here, Randy, but, you know, the battle in the trenches. And,
of course,
you know, I've looked up South Dakota. I've gone through their Pro Football Focus grades on every guy on their team. I've gone through all the guys who are number one on their depth chart. And, I mean, this is a game Kansas has got to win the battle in the trenches. I am also looking forward to watching the offensive line running this wide zone. We've heard so much about it. And, you know, you've got to be athletic. You've got to be able to run. And, you know, you're getting out in space and blocking. You're trying to create, you know, bigger gaps. And your running backs have got to find the hole. You know, and I want to see the offensive scheme. I want to see what they're going to do with this. You know, whether it's Jason Bean, Jalen Daniels, Miles Kendrick, you know, Buffalo in the past, when I went back and watched them, they didn't use a ton of quarterback run game. They ran a little option here and there. They ran some quarterback run game with the big kid that they had back in 2018, but it wasn't a lot. I don't know that they're big QB run game guys, so I want to see what they're going to do with some of these kids, like a Jason Bean or a Jalen Daniels. You know, they're athletic. They've got the ability to run. I want to see what they've put in and how they're going to install and use those guys. I want to watch KU's special teams. Okay, South Dakota's pretty good on special teams. That's probably one of their strengths. I talked about looking at the sideline for organization and just seeing what they're going to do there. You know, I've not been tied up on this starting quarterback thing, Randy. I know everybody wants to know who the starter is and all that. I want to know who the starter is going to be in week four and week five. Okay. I mean, this is week one. To me, it's not that big of a deal. You know, listen, Jason Bean at North Texas was beat out. Okay. Then he ended up winning the job. Okay. And then he lost it because going into their bowl game, I talked to enough people at North Texas, he was not going to start the bowl game. And then the quarterback down there got COVID, okay? And then that put Bean back in the starter. Jalen Daniels struggled last year. You know, he was probably put in some bad spots as a young kid. You know, Miles Kendrick has just never really gained traction as a quarterback at KU. So, listen, all three guys don't come in with, you know, there's some shine off all three of them. None of, they're all by far not perfect, okay? So it's going to be interesting to see how they use them and what they do, because I don't know that any of them yet has proven that they're going to win games in the Big 12. So that's what I'm going to be watching for.
So let's get into this. You know, what have you learned from South Dakota? How does KU match up with them? Give me your thoughts, and then I want your prediction. Just like we always do, it's finally time for everybody's favorite part of the podcast, the week of the game. Tell me how this thing's going to play out, Kerb.
Well, up front, Randy, for South Dakota, you know, some people talk that's one of their strengths, but they just lost their left guard. I posted that on the board. He's going to end up being like a student manager or a team manager. He was a team captain. Yep. When I researched their O-line, their Pro Football Focus grades, they went 64.2, 60.0, 59.6, 61.5, and then 37.7 at right tackle. Okay? So that's against Missouri Valley teams. Now, Missouri Valley is probably the best conference, hands down, for that level of football. But that offensive line didn't jump up and knock people over. So I'm looking for the KU defensive line to get after this front of South Dakota. They should show some things in that game. They've got to contain and watch this quarterback from South Dakota, Carson Camp. He's a nice player. I asked Borland about him today. He said, you know, he makes high percentage throws. He thinks they're going to put a lot of things in that, you know, keep everything short and simple to get him warmed up and then start taking some deep shots. And Borland said he can make all the throws. You know, South Dakota does have some guys who show on defense at, like, D-tackle. They've got a couple linebackers who were graded out really high. They've got a couple guys in the secondary that did as well. And special teams, which I talked about earlier, they're pretty good there. But listen, Randy, Kansas is going to be the better football team here. They're at home, but we all know week one is strange, right? I mean, we all know that we've watched Kansas struggle in week one against teams. Listen, last time Kansas played South Dakota, it wasn't just an absolute blowout. I mean, I want to say South Dakota was up in maybe late first quarter, early second quarter, went into halftime, and then KU pulled away late. Maybe 31-17, 31-14. I don't remember the exact score of the game, but it wasn't just an overall mismatch. So, you know, those scary things in week one always are on the back of your mind. But, man, I've got the Jayhawks in this thing. I'm going Kansas 28, South Dakota 13. So, hey, like we do every week, you give me your take on it.
You know, I am, much like you've talked about, I am really excited to watch both sides of the line for the Jayhawks. I think, you know, that's obviously a vastly different defensive front than what we rolled out last year, due to departures through the, you know, people graduating, people moving on in the portal and everything. But I think I think that defensive line has a chance to be better than people expect this year. And I'm excited to watch that offensive line. I'm the first one to say, you know, because of my high school coaching experience, I got a chance to watch Colin Grunhard basically grow up. I've been around the kid since he was, you know, a middle school kid playing in the Catholic leagues, and watched him grow and go through his career and called a bunch of his games when he started 50 games in high school. And he is gearing up to make his first start at the collegiate level. And I'm really interested to see how Colin does and see how that offensive line led by him and Nowitzki in the middle. I think they've got a chance to, over the course of the season, really, really gel and become a strength, I think, of this team potentially. I see this game playing out because, like you say, you talked about it being week one and the fact that there's always just, there are more things that can go wrong seemingly than can go right the first game out, and it's always so unpredictable. I see this thing going 24-14. I know you and I were not that far apart in regards to our point differential. I see KU winning this one, not in dominating fashion, but in a way that I think where they have a chance to control the game and kind of do some ball control late and start to establish themselves a little bit and work on some of the basic fundamental tenets of this offensive system that's going to give them confidence later in the year and maybe give them a chance to sneak up and bite somebody that they shouldn't be in a game with once they get to conference play.
Well, you and I are fairly close there. I know last year you and I were way off sometimes in our score predictions.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it is the fact, I mean, last year, as we all know, was such a weird year in so many different ways. So I'm hoping that we both, I'm hoping for both of our sakes, both of our sanity, that we get to see some really good football this year. I'm really excited about it. I know you are too. Let's change gear, kind of shift gears a little bit. August is such a slow month with recruiting because of the dead period. Obviously, yesterday was a big, you know, kind of the start of things for the class of 2023. What's the latest on the recruiting trail with the Jayhawks, Kerb?
Yeah, you know, everybody spends August getting ready for their own house. I always call it, you're taking care of your own house. All the high school recruits are playing with their high school teams in their fall camps, getting ready for the season, and then all the college guys are doing the same. But, you know, yesterday at midnight was the first time that you can actually reach out and start contacting 2023 guys. So the 2023 class is going to be really big because I think it's going to be a focus on high school guys. They're starting to get, they've already had a lot of offers out. You're starting to see more offers out. I love the staff. I love the recruiting staff, the inside guys, Rob Ionello, Scott Aligo, Greg Schwarzkopf, Grant Murray. These guys are good. They're really good. You know, it's probably not as big as a staff that they had under Les Miles, but it's quality. And these guys all work well together, and I think they're going to do some good things behind the scenes. Hey, Randy, I'll tell you something that's not been talked about that has to be addressed, and this is big for Kansas. I think in the next week or two, you're going to see the NCAA possibly meet and start really come into some formality on this of changing the recruiting rules. And I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if they're just going to say you get up to 30 scholarships or initials every year or just get to 85. We don't care how you get to 85, but 85 is your limit. So if you have a bunch of guys go in the portal or leave the program and you've got 30 spots open, you got 30 scholarships. But something's coming down, and this hasn't been talked about a lot, but it's coming, and I think it is going to help KU a lot. So that is something to really watch. I would say maybe this next 2 to 4 weeks to see what comes out of this, because I believe the NCAA, I was reading through one of the PDFs they sent out that, you know, they kind of just slide out. They never make it real public, but something's coming up here, and there's going to be a meeting soon. The other thing is the 2022 class that we're in now. I don't want to say there's a pause on high school guys, but I think there's a select group that they would take right now. And I really think this staff is going to sit back and they're going to watch and they're going to evaluate their roster and they're going to say, all right, this is what we need. We need linebackers, or we need a quarterback. We need two quarterbacks. I don't know. I'm just throwing those numbers out there. Okay. But what I think is going to happen is they're going to hit the portal. Okay, at some point, and they're going to go find guys that have been through other college programs and at least understand the grind of being in college, and just like the guys they got from Buffalo, okay? These recruits they bought from Buffalo, and that's a whole nother topic, because I have been so impressed with the transfers from Buffalo, and Leipold and these guys had a huge advantage because they knew the kids. And what I say that is, they didn't know the kids as players. They knew them as people. And everybody that they brought into the program is such an impressive person to talk to. I mean, they're just, you can tell, and you don't always get that in a transfer, okay? You don't always know in a transfer what you're getting. But with those guys from Buffalo, they did. So I think they'll go back to the portal. You know, I don't know if there's going to be nearly as many Buffalo guys, okay? So there may be a little bit more gambles here and there, but I think they're going to go back to the portal once they can go through and evaluate what they need, and then they're going to go start looking at that. So right now, I could see a couple more high school kids in this thing, and it depends on what the NCAA rule is going to be, but I think you'll see them attack the portal.
That's the final word from our man, John Kirby. And this is the end of week one's pregame podcast. It's the latest edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. You are now ready, primed, and set to go for Friday Night Lights, the big kickoff for the Jayhawks, the start of the Lance Leipold era against South Dakota. Guys, We've been talking about this game and the buildup to the start of the season for seemingly months upon months and months. It is finally here. Our long national nightmare is coming to an end. College football is upon us. For Jayhawk Slant publisher John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. Thanks a lot for joining us. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.